So, okay, let's talk about, when you hear Little Pack Rabbit Champion and UKC Performance Pack Champion, most people think, well, those are two completely contrasting style of dogs. So let's talk about that a little bit. What was it about dogs like Flame and Rock that made them able to compete in both formats pretty successfully? For quite a while, Rock was the dog to beat at a performance pack hunt. If Rock showed up, everybody knew that dog's going to end up in the finals, and you're going to have to beat him if you want to win. So what is it, because again, that's a topic that's near and dear to my heart, yours as well, going out and competing with the same dog in multiple formats and being successful with those dogs. So what is it about those dogs that lets them compete in what normally people would consider two contrasting formats?
Well, I think one thing that comes to mind is having a solid all-around dog. And like a lot of people will, refer as a rabbit dog. But for like the two dogs that I have experienced that with were just both straight up jump dogs. They hunted hard, check dogs. You know, they were always recovering a lot of checks and
Dogs that
putting
could
your back on the
hold a
rabbit.
track together.
And that's what I seen of dogs that were able to compete in those two formats and other multiple formats
And
alike.
another big one is being a jump dog. No matter what format you're in, jumping the rabbit pays out pretty big. And those are two fields that those dogs were what I would consider subject matter experts.
Yeah, they were definitely
We were pretty
exceptional.
spoiled there for a while when we used to run together. We had, you know, we had quite a few really good jump dogs that we would throw down, and it would go a lot of different ways a lot of times. But it goes back to that old train of thought that, kind of like at Brinsky's Run 'Em Over Tank or Smokes Creek Cyrus McGee dogs, other dogs before our time that were doing that. A good rabbit dog can get it done. That's the bottom line. People
Absolutely.
think a little pack, they think of a big, rough running dog. Sometimes, it's not always heads high running,
No.
and those dogs that get in there and hold it together are going to win in little pack.
Right.
The same with performance pack. If a dog gets in there and runs a rabbit and keep a track together, it's going to get paid out big time. So yeah, that's kind of one of the things that, you and I, we see eye to eye on a lot of things, and because of stuff like that. But so other than that, what are some, again, like I said, this is such a long list of dogs, but any other dogs you'd like to talk about? I know, like, I guess I'm leading you into this, but we co-own Mojo and Sync together, so we kind of talk about those dogs. And those are two other dogs that finished in multiple formats and did very well for us.
Yeah, I mean, Mojo is definitely the one that comes to my mind next. I had the opportunity to co-own them with you and primarily ran them most of the time. We kind of switched them back and forth depending
Yeah,
on
so
work schedule and so
I'll jump
forth.
in. Kind of the backstory behind Mojo is a dog I owned. I got him off Jason Prater, and he's back to that old school line of dogs. I ran a paycheck on Sadie crosses, more so Casey and Sadie crosses. But I'd gotten him, and I would describe him as kind of a jack of all trades kind of dog. He wasn't great at anything, but he was pretty good at everything. And I was getting ready to go to the oil field and kind of taking a break from dogs. I had sold him to a guy in Kentucky who had him for about a year. He had some pretty decent success with him down there. I think he placed him third in a Midwest hunt down there. And so long story short, the guy called me, and he'd bred Mojo a couple of times. I was ready to kind of send him, and I didn't. It was a dog that I didn't want to basically fall off the map. So I called you, and I asked you, if I bought this dog back, if you'd be interested in taking him and running him. And then, so we did, and that kind of started like our first partnership on a dog. And we'd been running quite a bit together. You had judged Mojo in large pack, and I knew you kind of knew him and liked a little bit of what you saw. So I figured he might be a dog that you'd be interested in. So basically, you took him and kind of did your thing. And what did you kind of do with him once you got your hands on him?
Well, when I got him, I started, of course, competing him in little pack. You wanted me to run him in some UKC since he already had one win towards champion, and I wasn't really interested, but I kept running him in little pack and primarily run him from my house. We switched him back and forth, like I said, a little bit.
Yeah. But you did the majority of the leg work with him because I was basically gone, you know, working in the oil field. I knew he'd be in the best possible hands, basically, long story short with that. So, but yeah, when I sent him to you, he had a third place that guy had put on him in AKC Midwest. Might have been I don't know if I was before.
It was Midwest.
Midwest, yeah. And then, you know, when he was young, probably 10, 11 months old, I put him in his first trial just kind of see what would happen. And it was, a foot and a half, 2 foot of snow. It was a lot of snow on the ground. I took him up to St. Louisville, and Geiger took us to one of his hunting holes up there. And the dog, he just showed a lot of brains in that cast. It was me, Jeremy Geiger, and Steve Wright. And the dog figured out real quick. You know, he could kind of see the tracks in the snow. So that was pretty much what he did. He figured out real quick that he had to be up front and basically to check the tracks in the snow. And that's how he got it done. So, a young dog with a lot of talent, but it was kind of a kudos to him, you know, to kind of show that the dog had brains, he had ability, right. and he was young. That was first time I put him in, and he got a win, and he got a win in some of the toughest conditions on Cottontail in Ohio that you can get. Mm-hmm. So leading him into your hands and kind of what you did with him from there. So
yeah, he was a very solid dog, and you know, he's a dog that would frustrate me at times, but he was still one of those dogs I've felt would always give me a chance. You know, taking him to a competition and.
Yeah.
And so forth, and there for several years, some of the local little pack clubs had what we called the East Central Ohio Beagle Clubs, and we do a Hound of the Year, five clubs, and that's what I was competing in a lot at that time, and I, you know, entered him in a lot of those.
Yeah,
hunts.
he was a dog that was in the top five.
Mm-hmm. He always seemed to make
pretty
the
much
top
the
five.
Whole time that thing went on. Yeah, So that's the hoodie I'm wearing right now.
Yeah.
Is actually one of the hoodies he wore. So, yeah, you know, we had a lot of success with him. You took him and got him in the top five at UKC Nationals. He got beat by one of Adam Banks's females, I think, in the finals. And a pretty tough cast, but it sounds like she went out and found a rabbit and got the job
done. Yeah, it was a hot afternoon. Yep. You know, Nationals, springtime, so it was probably like 70, 75, unconditionally warm. And, you know, I felt Mojo hunted really good, but that dog was able to find a rabbit. It was a baby rabbit, but and got beat.
Yep. And then I took him and handled him through the Memorial hunt. We got first place with him in the register class at the Memorial, which actually put his third win. That dog finished with three first places in UKC with pretty minimal exposure to UKC hunts. But, yeah, he got first at 167 registered dogs, I think. Is what.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was a fair-sized.
Yeah, it was one of the bigger Memorial hunts. So he did good, and he looked good in that entire hunt. And that was a kind of a warmer weather hunt. So, and then, you know, Zink. We talk about Zink. Zink was another one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, Zink, you know, I guess how that all started, that same McVeigh hunt that Mojo won registered, Zink got second place in the register.
Yeah, that was while Tucker owned him. Tucker handled him all the way to second. So, yeah, that's something we're both pretty proud of, is Mojo and Zink both first and second at that hunt. That's one of the bigger UKC hunts every year. So, but what did you do with Zink? Tell the people who don't know. I know Zink very well. We had a pretty rocky start together, but, you know, kind of run them through your process of what you did with Zink.
So how I ended up with Zink, me and Tucker Thorpe ended up going partnership on him. And after that trial at the McVeigh hunt, Zink had qualified for the UKC World Hunt.
Yeah.
And it also qualified Mojo. So me and Tucker talked, and it's like, well, you know, if you're going to go to the World Hunt, you might as well take Zink with you. And it was out at Shipshawana, Indiana that year, and I got a couple friends out there, and they're like, yeah, come on out, and you can stay at our place, and so forth. So there's a couple weeks before that hunt coming up, and I tuck them to my place, started running them, and I was going to leave for the that hunt on a Thursday afternoon, and I was running them that Wednesday in the evening, and he come back on three legs, and felt all bad, and like he was putting no weight on it. Seemed like he had pulled a muscle or something, and I just had to call up Tucker and tell him the news, and he was like, "Oh, it's fine, whatever, you know, just bring the dog back and go on out to the world hunt."
Yep.
And anyways, so me and Tucker started running together some, and I finally talked to him into bringing Zink to a little pack hunt up in Holmesville, Ohio. And I was also running a dog that me and you had partnership
with. Was that the Macy dog? Was that the hunt where, yeah.
So Macy
and Zink. Oh, Macy, she was an interesting one.
Yeah, she was a handful.
Yeah.
But anyways, Zink and Macy both made finals that day, and I think Zink ended up beating her. And then from there on out.
Yeah, I think he got first, Macy got second at that hunt.
Yeah, from there on out, you know, I kept bugging Tucker, you got to keep bringing this dog back. I mean, he can finish, he can make champion, he can make grand. And finally, Tucker was like, well, just take the dog and run him. And then that's when we went partnership on him. And dog was very successful for me, and I quickly finished him to little pack champion. And, you know, obviously already had a win or a place there. And
So what did he finish with? Did he finish? Did he get more than one first place in the open class, or did he finish with just one?
In the
little pack.
Little pack, yeah, just one.
Just one? Okay. Yep. And he basically got his points from there to make champion.
Mm-hmm. And then champions, I mean, he cruised through the champions pretty quick thanks to a state hunt win. He won the Michigan State Hunt.
Yeah, he
me.
Went up there, and that was his fifth win to make grand for the Michigan grand. State Hunt. Yeah.
And I can't even recall on how many big hunts he placed in the grands, but ended up taking fifth place.
Yeah, that was the big one—the fifth place at the World Hunt.
Yeah, at the Little Pack World Hunt.
He put up a pretty good fight against. I didn't make it out there, man. I wanted to drive out there. I was on the phone with. And I'm sure you didn't want to be bothered, but I was on the phone bugging the crap out of you and. I couldn't get out there, not with the kids. But I guess, you know, from what you told me, him and Carter kind of went back and forth. And that was the year Carter won the Hound of the Year and first place. And he got beat by Carter.
Carter jumped one or two rabbits and made the difference. I was pretty happy of how Zink performed. Obviously, I wanted to win, but you could definitely see Zink was out there.
If you're not
going to
win, at least you get beat by the dog that won it all.
I guess
you
that's know? A good way to look at it. And then also Zink, I think that same year, placed at the UKC Nationals.
I think you got him in the top four.
Top five.
Top
I think
five?
He got fifth.
Was it? So Mojo and Zink both ended up getting fifth at the Nationals at one point or another, UKC Nationals.
I think so.
Yep.
And then also, I'm not good at remembering dates, but I think it was 2000, no.
The memorial hunt?
Was that
2020? It would have been 2021,
okay.
I do believe. Yeah.
It was the first year they kind of changed the format up a little bit.
To the cast win.
I think he won three out of the four first round cast and then went into the runoff and ended up getting second overall.
And he got beat by Owen D'Agostin's Mongo dog in that.
Which
yeah.
is a very nice dog, very respectable dog in UKC.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got a pretty, you know, he's in there, he's competing with dogs like Carter and dogs like Mongo, and then they're competing with those dogs, and he's had some success himself. Mm-hmm. What was it about Zink, you think, that made him so successful across different formats?
Just his drive. I mean, he's a dog, you know, had a little bit of laziness to him, but he wasn't horrible. I wouldn't call it a fault.
Mm-hmm.
But he was one of those dogs that you could just sense, you know, when he was going to turn it on.
Yeah.
And you take him out on a cast, and he might be a little bit of a slow starter out of the gate.
He did a lot of typical male stuff. He'd like to pee on things and kind of that dog that needs that first rabbit to get going. Mm-hmm. It was kind of my impression of him. So,
but you know, in the four matches that we competed, you know, you ended up finishing him to a PKC champion.
Mm-hmm.
He won.
He made PKC champion pretty quick. I think he did that in about 6 months.
And you were running that Plum Creek series there for a while.
Yeah, he had that Plum Creek series win. I forgot about that one. That was another good one. So, we had quite a bit of success with that dog. You know, and you said he did have that kind of slow starter thing, but that dog would hit a point where he would just okay, it's time to go find a rabbit. Uh-huh. And literally in no time, that dog would just show up with a rabbit. So he had a lot of brains. You know, him and I, we didn't see eye to eye. I had a pretty rough UKC cast with him once where I handled him for you and I told you never again. He just, you know, they lost this rabbit. The 3 minutes got him and he ended up re-jumping that rabbit. Mm-hmm. And I spent 25 minutes chasing that dog around in like 80-degree weather. And he would get just within arm's reach. He'd break down on the rabbit. I'd get in there. And he was intentionally staying away from me so I couldn't catch him. And I was so mad. I told you I'll never.
You can't really blame him, can you?
Yeah, I told you I'll never handle that dog again. And, of course, I lied. I ended up handling him. We came around. You know, I took him for the PKC stuff. And he spent a little bit of time in the house. And I think he kind of warmed up to me. And we had finally found that common ground where we can get along and he'll do what I expect him to do. And the only thing I asked was, did he come back? I'm going to holler for him. So we finally found that point.
Yeah.
But and he didn't tear the brush piles up, but he knew how to jump a rabbit and he'd go jump a rabbit. He's usually good for a jump or two. Mm-hmm. And he's a dog that's always going to be in the front. He's going to be, if he's not first, he's going to be second. He didn't miss a lot of lines for UKC and PKC. He was an athletic dog.
What I appreciated most about him was just, like, his honesty. If he barked, you knew he had a rabbit.
Absolutely, yep. That's a dog. If he barked, you struck him first bark. Mm-hmm. He's going to produce a rabbit.
And he just
– he didn't do a whole lot to get himself in trouble.
He wouldn't be messing up any chases. Like, you know, he was a fast dog, but he wasn't going to be overrunning the front a lot.
Yep. He snapped back really good, which is a good quality in – you know, that Casey stuff. Mm-hmm. It's good foot, but they know where the loss is. They shut their mouth, they snap back pretty quick.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I like about that line of dog. Mm-hmm. But, it just, that dog's athleticism and his hustle, he was a darn good check dog. And that was one of the things that helped him out. His speed and his control in UKC and PKC and Plum Creek, and then his ability to just get a check and go. He was a darn good check dog.
He just had the knack of figuring out other dogs and how to beat them.
Yeah. He was a competitive dog. He wanted to be in the front, and he did it with regard to where the rabbit is, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So after, you know, that, is there any other dogs you want to kind of talk about or bring up after that? You know, actually, you know, you started doing pretty good in AKC. I think you made your first AKC field champion.
Yeah.
With the Rover dog. So tell us a little bit about Rover.
Yeah, so my latest achieving dog is Buckeye's little Rover.
Yep.
Little red and white 13-inch male that has been very successful for me in several formats. But one that stands out to me is making a – AKC field champion.
Yeah, and that's not an easy task.
It's definitely probably one of the hardest titles to put on a dog, in my opinion, in any legal.
And if anybody would know, you would know, because you've titled dogs in just about everything. So,
he's a dog that goes back to a lot of the Jigs Maggie Mate blood, some Birch Lake. He ended up finishing to field champion with 5 wins. Had a couple places in large pack on hair, and it's kind of hard to believe because he's not that fast of a dog.
He's not a footy. He's not a flashy dog.
He's got control, runs a lot of line, exceptional nose. Probably
he's got a good nose.
Probably the biggest nose of a dog I've ever owned.
Mm-hmm.
He's got.
So how does that help him out? You think? I mean, because a big nose can hurt you and it can help you. You know, you've kind of struggled with that on both sides with him a little bit.
It has helped me is he's won a couple trials because of it. I would say there's probably 3 out of his 5 wins
were tough days
or, you know, certain situations. And, of course, every one of those, I was not there to see it either.
You're judging or...
Yeah, judging or here the, you know, last part of last year for a couple months, thanks to Robbie Underwood for taking him and getting him to a couple trials and running them for me there.
Oh, Rob Underwood. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had him at his house, and He ended up getting two wins and a second on him
okay.
For me. And but one win that a lot of people still talk about that seen it happen was at a trial up at North Central Ohio. Of course, I was judging big males, so I wasn't out there to see it. Had my buddy Joe Yoder handle him. And they were running on – it was on public ground, and there's this one area of the head – these big boulders where the rabbit was running across, and it like kept making loops and run across these boulders. Every time the dogs come up to these boulders, they would just kind of shut down.
Yeah,
they said Rover would get up on those boulders and just hop from boulder to boulder and just walk it right out, run it right through those boulders, and they got into the other side, back into the field. Other dogs would chime in, and away they go.
So that got the judge's attention that they got to witness that, and that happened. It didn't just happen once, right?
No, it was so, throughout the trial.
Yeah, because they were kind of, from my understanding, when I originally heard the story, they were kind of like, oh, the dog might have just got lucky or something. But he did that repeatedly and kind of proved to the judges, like, you know, he's got a little something more, a little bit more here than the other dogs got.
Right.
And that was kind of the deciding factor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are always the wins when that dog, you know, like you were talking about going out in tough conditions and being a jump dog. Again.
And he's one of those dogs that I seen that from a young age. I remember when I was, you know, I first.
I started that dog for you, by the way.
No, he was half started. When
I started him.
But anyways, when you know, at a young age.
My reports on him weren't very high, but you saw something that he liked, and you're obviously right. I was wrong, so I can't admit that I was wrong. I just didn't see much foot out of him. I could see he had a pretty good nose.
Which he's never had much foot. I call him a medium-speed dog, and you know, maybe a little bit faster, but.
He can get up and go. I've seen him get up and go. Like, you know, foot isn't necessarily an issue for the dog, it that way, you know.
I mean, he'll stay with pretty much anything you put him down. He's just not going to be on the front end.
Yep.
Because he's more of a track-focused dog.
Yeah.
And he does it with a lot of heart.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a young dog, he was just something that I had seen. I mean, man, you know, I had my struggles with him as well as, you know, some other young dogs, but there was just something in him that I seen. I was like, I'm going to stick to this dog. And one of it was just, I remember running him on a hot, dry summer day, running him with the pack. And the rabbit came out on a dirt road and ran down the dirt road. And I had him down with dogs like Flame and Rock, dogs that, you know, I think very highly of. And he come out there. The other dogs just kind of went into a check. He was on the back end of the pack, come out, turned to 90 on the road. I still got a video of him doing it. Runs it right down the road. The rabbit ran right up towards me. Cut back in about 30 yards of just running on a dirt road. Yeah, it's not that far.
Yeah. But,
I mean, he ran every...
A lot of your checks come on dirt roads, man. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, I mean, it was just one of those moments where I'm like, I got something.
Yeah, yep.
So, yeah, which I also, you know, when it comes to other accomplishments I got with him is... he's a UKC Performance Pack champion and has three wins in the champion class.
Yep, yep.
And is,
so, again, a multiple format dog, you know. Like I said, that's something people deserve to tip their hat to you for, you know. Like I said, you're a dog man. You know dogs, and you got a knack for getting the best out of a dog and putting a dog in the situations that can be successful. So that's one of the things I appreciate about you, you know. So,
yeah.
Again, my hat's off to you for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I guess I'll give you a chance to talk about Loco as well, kind of how he's bred and what you're doing with him. He's got three wins in AKC.
So he
just needs points at this point.
Yep. Right.
So, yeah, go ahead and talk about Loco a little.
So
I like Loco. Loco's a little more my style dog. He wants to pick up and roll, and he can get up and roll, and he's got accuracy when he does it. So.
Yeah. So Buckeye's Locomotive as well. I just call him Loco for short. A little bit on his pedigree. He is out of Field Champion Large Pack Big Creek Navigator.
Yep.
And his
he's out of Bitty.
Dam is Buckeye's little Bitty.
Yeah, Bitty. Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I like him so much too. Is he's out of Bitty. So.
Yeah, I guess that's one good thing Bitty left back for me is
the Loco dog. So that's a dog that you bred, you raised.
Yeah, I made the cross.
That dog's got your stamp on him in every possible way.
Yeah. Yep. He was a dog that I kind of felt started a little slow or just didn't really progress as quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kept watching him, watching him. I was like, man, he's not doing anything wrong. And I stuck to him for a little bit longer, probably because I made the his dog out of my my cross and whatnot. And then he started clicking, and I was very impressed with him. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to take him to an AKC trial and see what he does. First trial, I dropped him in. He got second place.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing him that day. He's not getting caught up in any, BS or
making good decisions.
Yeah, he could decipher through some of the bad things that were going on. And
again, to me, that's a testament of brains. A smart dog. A dog that knows the game, knows how to do it.
Yep. So, comparing him and Rover, they're almost two different.
Kind of conflicting style dogs.
But when the running's head high and so forth, Loco, he's going to shine.
Yeah.
But even in tough conditions, Loco might not quite have the nose, but he's not going to be doing anything stupid.
He's going to contribute. Yep.
He's a dog. If he does overrun it, he's quick back to the point of loss.
Mm-hmm.
I think I put him in four large pack on hair trials. He's got two second places, an NBQ, and the other one he didn't place.
So how do you think he does that in large pack? Because, large pack on hair is not a totally different game, but it's a different game, as far as, so for a guy to take a dog from Ohio, put it up there on hair and to compete, that's a lot of running and a lot of conditioning, and then it's a lot more pressure. Because for people who don't know, large pack on hair is basically every dog that shows up. They split them up into four classes: big males, big females, little males, little females. And basically any dog that shows up that fits that class goes down. So you might have 20 or 30 dogs running at one time, which is a lot of pressure. So how do you prepare a dog for something like that, to be able to go from Ohio to compete in large pack on hair?
Well, it's not easy. I really got no secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Just run them as hard as you can and
try
to get as many miles on them. I guess what I see, the trials that both trials that he placed second, I was up north running here the previous week.
So you got him up there a little early to get him adjusted.
I was
to
able
the game.
To get him a week of hair running.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those dogs from cottontail to hair, man. He's just he just turns it up a notch.
Yeah.
He's a 13-inch dog, and I can put him down with 15-inch dogs, and he's going to
in there and get his.
And now, granted, you look at my pack or some of my bigger dogs and the guys I run with, we don't have the fastest 15-inch dogs out there. I mean, I'm not running them with the fastest dogs out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, what we got, I mean, he's going to be, he's out there and he's going to be on the front end, and he does it with control.
Yep. Just knows the game, knows where the rabbit is, knows where it's going, and knows how to work a check. Mm-hmm. Yep. Got a lot of hustle and pretty physically built dog as well. He's built to run, he's built to go. So, once again, leading back to dogs getting it done in multiple formats, what do you think are the keys to your success? I have my own ideas on why I think you're so successful with some of that stuff, and I don't know if you necessarily believe you're a successful guy, but you've had some successes. What do you think it is that helps you out?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing is, you just got to run your dogs. You got to feed them rabbit tracks. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
But also being able to look at your dogs and seeing what they are and how to run them and what to run them with and what they need at the right time.
And you're talking about each individual dog. When you're running, you're not just looking at the pack and the performance of the pack.
No. Which, yes and no. Let me touch on that a little bit. Because one thing that I want to see when I'm out running is just a continuous, smooth running chase.
Yeah.
I don't like a dog out there screwing up my chase. Causing that continuous breakdown or whatever. I like it to be able to go out and run a pack of five dogs that complement each other, work together as a pack, just have a nice, smooth run and chase.
Yeah.
And when I have dogs in there that are starting to swerp and swing and skirt and, you know, doing things like that, that's when I see my pack and my chase start going downhill.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some dogs that you can, depending on how you run them, you can help mm-hmm. a little bit with that.
Yeah.
Some of it, I think some dogs just naturally have it.
Yeah. You're
just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But there's times where, like, I feel there's a dog that you just need to build their confidence level.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do that?
For me, a lot of times, it's, like, say I got a 2-3-year-old dog that I need to build his confidence is, you know, solo is obviously one way to go, but it's not my favorite.
You know, I'm going to start dissecting a little bit. How do you think that solo helps build a dog's confidence? For the people who maybe don't solo or don't believe in it, kind of playing the devil's mm-hmm. advocate here, what do you think it is about solo time that helps out?
Well, what it does is just they go out there and they figure out, hey, I can actually jump a rabbit by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to be running after this other dog and that dog gets it up. I can do this myself.
Yeah.
So eventually, you know, if you put them back with a pack, they're just going to go their own way and jump their own rabbit.
Yep.
When it comes to running.
But it's not the sort of deal where you can just solo a dog one time.
No.
And completely change that dog. I guess I'll jump in a little bit here and kind of chime in. Anything when it comes to training a dog is repetition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're training a dog to sit, stay, roll over, or go jump a rabbit. It's repetition and reward, mm-hmm. you know, so.
And then when it comes to, like, running a track, you know, and, like, in the, maybe, you know, a dog's obviously going to have some of its own checks. I mean, the dogs mm-hmm. are not all perfect. But there's no other dog to stop and look at, you know. If you want this chase to continue, you got to figure it out yourself.
Yep.
And if that's going back to the point of loss or just putting your head down and walking it out and get it back going.
Yeah.
You know, I think, solo is one way. Do I do it a lot? Honestly, no, I don't. But there's some times.
You have. I know for a fact you have, so I'm not going to let you sit there and say that.
Yeah. But it's not like you're going to catch me out there every night solo.
Right. Dog. Yep. Yeah.
But there's some dogs that I don't feel benefit as much from solo. I think there's dogs
There's some.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. But there's other dogs I think do better if they have another dog they can just go up out and whoop up on.
Mm-hmm.
Say you got a 2-year-old dog, you know, put them down with a dog. Maybe it's a good dog, but it's a dog that doesn't have the foot. Maybe that's what the dog needs for confidence.
Yep.
You know, I've even had dogs where I know they can jump rabbits, but I'm always putting them down with a dog that always jumps rabbits.
Yeah.
Like the argument me and you already had. You've told me Mojo's a jump dog. I say, no, he's not, because I put him down with Rock or Flame. He knew he doesn't have to go jump a rabbit because they're going to have a rabbit in 5 minutes.
Well, yeah. No, I remember that now, actually, very clearly. I had that dog for a little while. He was jumping rabbits. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I told you, you're like, no, he ain't. No, he's not. I'm like, whatever, man. You know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But no, that dog, man, he was hot there for a little while with going out and finding rabbits.
That's one thing I figured out with Mojo. Don't run
him. Don't
with,
put him with other dogs.
Don't put him with other jump
knows.
Dogs.
Yeah,
and you put him down, even with the pup, he would go in there and he'd jump every rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think sometimes it's better to brace a dog to solo a dog.
Yeah.
Maybe some dogs. I think it's a rotation of splitting them up, running them pack, brace, solo. I mean, every dog's different, and every dog needs different things to get the best.
So, what I'm hearing is somebody who takes the time, puts time into the dogs, and pays attention to what the dogs mm-hmm. need. And the key to success is not just paying attention, but actually getting that dog mm-hmm. what it needs. And I think that's something you're very good at. And I'd say, you know, the success that follows you is due largely to that fact right there, that mm-hmm. You see something in a dog, and then you put the time into it to mold that dog and enhance what it has, you know? So on that note, what are some things, you know, that determine whether that's a dog you want to fool with or it isn't a dog you want to fool with? What are you looking for in dogs?
Well, for me, the first thing that a dog needs to do to stay at my kennel is you need to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't hunt, you're not going to have rabbits. And so that's the first red flag for me. If you don't hunt, you're done. No matter how good you can run a track, no matter how fast you are.
And there are some dogs out there that can absolutely smoke a rabbit mm-hmm. that don't want to jump a rabbit. So,
And I'm not saying they got to be jump dogs. I mean, I got dogs on my kennel right now that they're not jump dogs.
Mm-hmm. But they hunt decent.
They're not gonna be toe warmers. They're not gonna be standing at my feet. They're gonna be out there. They're gonna be looking. They're not gonna be the dominant striker jump dog, but they're gonna be out there looking. And then just one thing is brains. Going back to, I guess, using my loco dog as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I seen he wasn't progressing quite as much as I'd like to see him from like a year to year and a half old, but I seen brains in him. Like he wasn't doing dumb things. I see him do things every now and then, and that kind of sparked it in my mind. And
so when you say dumb things, what are, just give us some examples of those dumb things.
Well, I guess maybe more faults,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, than dumb things, I guess. Dog's just barking off.
He doesn't get sucked into things that he's able to make the decision, like, you know, there's really nothing there. I'm not going to fool with that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like I dogs running over the end and keeping on barking. You know, like a one thing that I'm seeing and running in all these different formats and registries that I think is overlooked and is being lost a lot is guys breeding dogs that when they do lose a track that they come back to the point of loss.
Snapping back.
I mean, and I see it no matter what format I'm judging, running. Mm-hmm. Dogs go into a check, and you can stay standing there, and they're gone. You don't even – they're out of your sight. You can't see it.
Yeah.
That is
– When the check area turns into a ghost town.
That's frustrating.
I've seen that a lot judging here lately too.
So, like, to me, that's a fault. And either you're going to go jump another rabbit, you're going to be, you know, hunting for the check way too far out, and you're going to jump another rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're never going to recover the track.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's one thing that I see from a young dog. If a young dog can do that, that's something that I...
That's natural brains, kind of. Yeah, dog.
And it's something I think it's you can't teach a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's in them or it's not.
Yeah. So this is kind of something I've been going through in my head. What do you think about hunt? Can you teach a dog hunt? Can you not teach a dog hunt? Is there a little bit you can do with hunt? Let's talk about your perspective on hunt.
I would say most of it is in them. It's bred in them. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make a dog hunt. You can encourage a dog to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on...
The dog's got to have to want the desire to at least go mm-hmm. and search. Kind of my theory, I guess, is why I'm asking, because I want to bounce this theory off of some guys. To me, as long as the dog's got desire... To search and to seek uh-huh. and to find game, I can teach that dog to hunt.
Uh-huh.
You do it by, my opinion, spoiling them.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like teaching a dog to sit, you give a dog a treat when it sits. If it doesn't sit, you don't give it a treat. I feel you can teach dogs to an extent to get into the brush and find a rabbit, as long as there's a rabbit in that brush uh-huh. pile. I feel like I'm doing that by spoiling them. Going to places that I know there's going to be rabbits and more brush piles than not, you know. I think, you know, and again, it comes down to the repetition. You repeatedly teach that dog, go in the brush, find a rabbit. Now, with that in mind, the dog has to have the desire mm-hmm. to do it, you know. But I feel a lot of guys say, oh, you can't put hunt into a dog. You can't mm-hmm. put hunt into a dog. Well, yes and no. I feel like if the dog's got the drive, the desire, I feel like you can enhance the hunt a little bit by teaching them where to hunt.
Well, and touching a little bit on that, if you got spots that you have a bunch of rabbits, you know, I think I'm very fortunate to have running spots where I can cut dogs loose, and I expect within
you think so
a couple minutes I can have a rabbit going.
Yes, yep. That's something Ivan and I touched on in mm-hmm. conversation. Is it your area is got rabbits? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you travel to East Holmes Beagle Club, you know, if you don't win, you're gonna get beat in rabbits, mm-hmm. like. I've judged in spots that it's just Arlen took us to a spot and I judged. Mm-hmm. And I think Brent Miller was on that cast, Rebecca Applegarth. And I'm running behind the dogs and still watching rabbits squirt out, you know. Uh-huh. When they broke down in the check, it wasn't necessarily
mm-hmm.
– it's just which dog's going to bounce into a rabbit first. You know, that spot was just right. crazy thick. But, yeah, that's a good example of kind of what you expect when you
I think that helps build confidence in a dog to hunt.
It does,
because
absolutely.
Because they know if I get in there, I can find it. And it's a conversation I had with a longtime houndsman and an experienced beagler, you know, we were just kind of discussing that. You know, what do you think makes a dog, you know, basically a dog hunt harder?
Mm-hmm.
And his theory was, well, keep putting them in rabbits. And yeah. Some guys are like, oh, no, they just luck into it and it makes them lazy.
But you still teach them. If you get out there and get after it, you'll find something.
Which is another one of those things.
You're rewarding good behavior, mm-hmm. You know.
My theory on that, switch it up. Even though for me at times, if I'm just running some of my local spots and not hunting state ground, you know, like I said, I expect to rabbit up 3 to 5 minutes. If that's not happening, I'm like, what's going on with my dogs?
Yep.
And then also pulling them out and making them hunt. And that's where I like going to state ground and a bigger area where there's thousands of acres,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, it's more to it than just
running
right into them, basically.
Yeah. Yep. So let's kind of close with this. What advice would you give to somebody who may be listening who is either interested in A, getting started in beagles and, you know, potentially competition hunting, mm-hmm. field trialing, or, you know, somebody who's had beagles for a while who hasn't quite ventured into the competition world? Is there any advice you would give those people?
Yeah. So my advice on that is, first and foremost, figure out. I don't like using style of dog, but I'm going to use a style.
I'm going to interject on that because that's a sensitive subject. I believe style is what hurts this breed. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look back into the, you know, I think it was the early 60s when style almost destroyed this breed of dog. You mm-hmm. know, people wanted a specific style that was really not practical. If that's your taste, that's your taste. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But, you know, style is why there's so many different formats, mm-hmm. and I hate it. You know, a rabbit dog is a rabbit dog. Mm-hmm. And guys who kind of, again, not to toot the Delbert Herb horn, but guys who do what you do prove that mm-hmm. on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. A rabbit dog can win.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Well, yeah.
That's my little style rant. So let me get back to you again. Sorry about that, but I just wanted. That's one of the things I'm kind of hoping to clean up a little bit with this podcast.
I'm all for accomplishment over style too. I mean, yep. There's no question.
I hate the word style. I don't.
Yeah, that's how I said I'm going to use style, even though I don't really like it. But anyway, like, figure out what dog you like to run. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, for myself, I'm not big on having like speed, fast dogs. But that's just what I like. But figure out what you like. If it's a fast
dog, I don't mind speed at all, as long as they can still get the
control,
job done.
Control.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, figure out what you like. You know, if you like a fast cutting, slashing dog, whatever, that's great. If you
dogs that do that can get away with it in little pack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
but basically, figure out what you like to run. When you go out running dogs, this is a dog that you enjoy dropping off the tailgate mm-hmm. and standing out there for 6 hours. And watch and run.
Yep.
You know, if that's what you enjoy, figure out. And then the next step is, if you want to get into competition, is figure out, okay, where is this dog going to be successful at?
Yeah.
Because I think there's all kinds of different formats out there, and there's a lot of good dogs. There's good dogs that won't be successful in one format, but are going to be successful in another.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean, if just because you're not successful in one, doesn't mean you don't have a good dog.
Yes.
But figure out, where's this dog going to do well?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's hard for you to, you know, by reading rule books and stuff like that, figuring out, find beaglers out there that run multiple formats and ask them, hey, I got this dog I'd like to take to a competition, but I don't know where it fits in at, or, you know, where to run it. You mind running with me sometime and seeing what you think? And, you know, I think that's the quickest way to become successful.
Mm-hmm.
In the competition
to at least
world,
have success,
you know, figuring out where's your dog fit in, and you know, don't run a style of dog if you don't enjoy running it, and just because it's winning,
yeah,
you know,
to me
that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you know, to touch on that too is, don't expect immediate results. You know,
exactly.
On average, how many hunts do you go to and get beat or win? Would you say? Because for me, I probably take at least 3 losses before I have a cast win a lot of times, you know.
Yeah, probably.
So what would you say for you? You know, you get beat 3 times and have 1 win, because the success of a trial dog is determined over the course of its career. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily determined in just one day. Granted, you win a big hunt, you win a prestigious hunt. Mm-hmm. Sure, that helps. That's great, you know. But what else can the dog accomplish? You know, so I think a lot of people I've seen, and I can say this for sure, a lot of guys will show up and expect immediate results. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily going to get immediate results. Mm-hmm. Dogs go through hot streaks, they go through cold streaks, and it's on you as a handler to, if you're on a hot streak, man, get out there every weekend, start hitting hunts. Yep. You know, enjoy it while you can, because it's not always going to last the entire time. So,
and you know, just to be honest, me and you can both agree, there's a lot of luck in this competition.
Absolutely. You're going to get beat on luck, and you're going to win on luck. It's one of the things that's going to happen in this sport.
I know.
So,
absolutely.
You got to, I think, you know, an important thing is to show up with an open mind. Don't be blind. Uh-huh. Don't just look at your dog. Look at all the dogs on the ground and be honest. Be honest about what you've got on the end of your leash, uh-huh. and be honest about the conditions. Uh-huh. You know, conditions, different dogs are going to do better despite the format in different conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a cold, snowy, crappy day, you know you're going to want to take Rover. Mm-hmm. You know, over Loco. If it's a head high, hard hitting day, you know your Loco dog's going to have a little better shot than Rover. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I think guys need to take into account, is not every day is going to be your dog's day.
Right.
So, yep.
Yeah.
But no, that, I don't know. You got anything else before we close this up? I know it's been a little bit of a battle. This is actually our second time recording this episode, because some technical failures on the operator's part. And, you know, thank you for sitting down. Definitely, like I said, I'm wanting you to kind of help me be a regular contributor on this podcast, because sure. you're a knowledgeable guy. You know what you're doing. And when it comes to subject matter experts, you're definitely one of the guys I would classify as a subject matter expert in the sport. So.
Well, I appreciate it. I
mean, you'll be able to keep me in line when I start getting a little carried away with my stories. So.
Yeah. No, it's been great doing this. Look forward to...
Twice.
Yeah. repeat. But I look forward to doing more and
yep.
seeing where it can make a difference. And, you know, I guess my biggest thing is I've been very successful and very blessed, you know, in the competition world and so forth. And you're just recently...
Putting in the work too.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's not like you just fell into this. You're a guy that you're passionate about the sport. You're passionate about the dogs. It's mm-hmm. in your blood. If there was never another trial again, you'd still be running dogs, probably
absolutely.
Just as hard as you are right now. So,
but like I was just thinking to myself, it's like, you know, what else? You know, I've been successful and very blessed, you know, in the winning and competition and so forth. But like, what else can I do when it comes to the competition? Or what can I do to make better? Mm-hmm. And one thing that I want to focus on is like helping new guys get into the sport and helping guys,
which is another thing. Again, you're speaking, there's several guys judging at East Holmes that I believe you've kind of developed and molded mm-hmm. and kind of mentored them through this process, and they're
right.
turning into, they're going to be the guys that are out there judging when we can't go out and judge anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So you know, just helping new guys, helping guys that want to learn, help them along, you know, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting a good dog in their hands too. You know, don't just
yeah.
hand off your dogs that you don't want no more, that you know you're not going to be able to be successful with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, somebody else very likely can take that dog and have more success. You
absolutely.
Know? Not every dog matches every person. So,
no.
Yep. All right, Delbert. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Again, thanks for sitting down with me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
2 hours, not just 1 hour, but well over 2 hours. And mm-hmm. we kind of ground through this and we got it done. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right.